All right, let's open up our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting a new chapter this week as we continue on our look at this book and really focus in on being able to preach the Word. I mean, those particular phrase actually comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. That is our theme verse for this year, our vision verse, and being able to have all of us be able to teach or be able to share the Word of God whenever we have an opportunity. As I usually say, it doesn't mean that you got to stand in front of a pulpit to be able to lay out the Word of God, but it's that family member, it's that co-worker, friend, whatever, that you have an opportunity to be able to share truth, to be able to help them in their lives. That's what we're talking about, being able to sit down and open up the Word of God and share what the Lord has shown you and taught you for them as well. So that's what we're talking about here as we continue through this book. But today, specifically, we're going to be looking at the first couple of verses in chapter 4 and really looking at Paul's exhortation. It really continues on from what we saw last week, where he was focused on them being able to grow and to abound in love, and of course, in having a life that is set aside or sanctified and be without blame when the Lord comes back at His return. So really, he's continuing on in that, and we're going to look at verse 1 being our course that's laid out and how we can actually walk and please God. That's what Paul is exhorting the Thessalonians to really continue to do. They were having a great testimony. We've seen that all the way from chapter 1. But Paul wants them and exhort them to continue to be able to walk and to please God. So that's what we're going to focus on in verse 1 and the course that's laid out. But then we're going to talk about commandments in verse 2. We have commandments, and that's something that I really want to take some time to hopefully clearly lay out what we are responsible for, what we are accountable to the Lord for when He does come back, because the Bible is filled with commandments. Most times when people think about the commandments, they think about just the Ten Commandments, that's to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. But as believers in Christ, as far as the body of Christ, we have many commandments that we are to we're going to be held accountable for, and we're going to talk about those particular commandments. I want you to keep this in mind before we get into this message. All the Bible is for you, but not all the Bible is to you. All right? That's very important to understand. As we talk about Bible study and rules of Bible study, one of the number one rules is context. All the Bible is for you. You can learn from every bit of the Word of God. The Word of God is given by inspiration of God, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All right? But all of it is not to us. Again, if it's raining really hard, we don't have to worry about going out and building an ark, because we know from the Word of God that that's not to us. That was to Noah and his time, and God's done with that, all right? We don't have to worry about sacrificing a sheep in the morning time and the evening time, as far as having a morning and evening sacrifice. Again, that's something that's to the nation of Israel at a particular time. It's not to us, all right? And we can go on and on with that. So it's very important to understand what exactly is written to us in our commands, because if we don't understand the commands that we're supposed to keep, then it's going to be hard to walk and to please God, as we're going to see in verse 1. Let's actually look at it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2, it says this: "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Now, really, as we look at this, this is really like the heart of really what our church is all about, Faith Bible Church, because we're supposed to be what? Walk by faith and not by sight, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And how do we walk by faith? Well, we know in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And so if we're going to walk by faith, we're going to walk according to the Word of God, which ties right into what we're going to be talking about today. If I'm going to walk and please God, then I got to know the commandments or the Word that He has given to me for me to be able to do that. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started in what we need to see today in these verses. Father in heaven, again, I thank You and praise You for Your Word. I thank You for every message and everything that we have out of this book that You've given us this year. Lord, it's my prayer that we can really get everything that You have for us out of this book, out of each message, Lord, and specifically right now today. You've brought us to this passage for a particular time and purpose for the life of our church, for us individually. open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes so that we can see the things that we need to see today and to be able to apply them to our lives. That is not just another exercise and another Sunday coming to church, listen to a message and go home and our lives are not changed. Lord, I pray that this word that we're going to see today will change us, that we can be a people that we are walking according to your word and doing those things that please you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1, it says this. Furthermore, so again, continuing from last week, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. That word exhort is the same word as dealing with encouraging. We're trying to help them to be able to motivate them to continue to do the truth of the Word of God, to be able to walk according to the Word. We've seen that word before, and we'll see it again, even in a cross reference. But again, he says this, that, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. Now, again, we talk about them receiving, the Thessalonians receiving the things that Paul and Silas and Timothy have laid out. Again, this is not the first time we've seen this in the book. If you just go back to chapter 1 real quick, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I want you to look down in verses 6 and 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 6, it says this, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in sample to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So again, in verse 6, you see how they became followers of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, but as they were, again, following the Lord, and had received the word, even in much affliction. Even though they were going through a lot of trials and tribulations, they were still received the word of God. It really also lines up to a reference that we looked at last week. I'm not going to have you turn there, but Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, where Paul talks about those things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And so, again, the whole aspect to where you see where the people that Paul were ministering to, like the Philippians and like the Thessalonians, how they received the word of God because they understood this thing. They understood that it was the word of God, that God was using Paul and his ministry team to give them the word of God that they're supposed to follow. They were not following a man. They were not, the Thessalonians were not following Paul in the sense far as following Paul like Paul's a God, all right, or Silas or Timothy. No, they understood that God was using Paul to give them the word of God or the commandments that they're supposed to walk according to and to be able to please God. You go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's look at it again. It says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. So there's two things that are going on there, that they ought to walk and they ought to please. They ought to walk with God and they ought to please. Now, when you see that word ought, that means you really, this is something that strongly suggests that you should be doing. But it infers that you have a choice. All right? You ought to be in the Word of God, but it's your choice whether you're actually going to do that or not. You ought to spend time with God in prayer, but it's still your choice whether you're going to do that or not. All right? You ought to do the right things that are laid out by the Word of God, but it's still your choice whether you're going to do that or not. And so when you see this, it's like that's what he's exhorting or encouraging them to continue to still do. Now remember, the Thessalonians are doing a great job. I mean, we don't have the time, but we can review what they were doing in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 and in chapter 3. We've seen nothing but good things from the Thessalonians. But it doesn't matter in a sense that, you know, if you do great things and all of a sudden that you stop, then you're not going to get rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. You've got to finish. All right, I don't know about you. The Summer Olympics are going on, and I don't have the time. I know the viewership is down. From what I hear, but I just with my schedule, especially this week, I don't have much time to watch the Olympics. I watched it twice now this morning at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock this morning, as other agent came in to relieve me, and we did the same thing yesterday. And both times that we were watching this, it was swimming. Now, I can appreciate swimming, but I can only take so much swimming. You know, and that's what it was, the heats, the qualifying, stuff like that. But let's say those swimmers, I mean, they're doing really good. They're really doing the first link, second link, so forth. But if they just stopped in the middle of the pool, are they going to have a chance to get a medal? We all know that that's not the case.
You can swim really good at the beginning of the race, but if you don't finish the race, you're not going to have a chance to be able to get that medal. I mean, that's just common knowledge and making sense. Well, our walk with the Lord needs to be the same thing. And Paul's encouraging. It's like, guys, you Thessalonians, you're doing a great job. You've done an awesome job in the midst of all this trial and tribulation, but I need you to continue. I'm exhorting you to continue. You ought to walk. I want you to turn back to the book of Ephesians real quick. Just a few pages back to the left. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. We're actually going to pick it up in verse 8. And we're going to read down through verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Now this is what we all need to understand, as far as especially because we're dealing with our salvation. We can't work for our salvation. There's not enough good works you can do to earn your way to heaven. That is not our doctrine. In the Old Testament, they had works. In the time of Christ, in his earthly ministry, there was works. After the rapture of the church, that we're gone and going into the tribulation period, there will be works. But right now, we're in this what we call the dispensation of grace, and that's important to understand. Because it's by grace that we're saved, we can't work for it, and that's exactly what these verses say. Notice, Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It says it very clearly right there. You cannot work your way to heaven. And every religion, which is man-made, has some aspect of works. You check out any kind of religion, and there's a number of those that are called Christian denominations, that they too have a system of works to be able to try to earn your way to heaven. And the Bible is very clear here that you cannot work your way to heaven. It's by grace and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now where the works come in is after that, after you are saved, that we have a job to do. And that's where verse 10 comes in. Still in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, there's a couple of things I need you to understand about verse 10 real quick before we move on. One, it says that we are His workmanship. In other words, God is the master that works on us. A lot of signs, the trials and the tribulations and the things that you go through is God working in you to equip you for the works that He wants you to do. Now, I understand that some of the things that we have to go through, it's not pleasant. It's not. Some of the most unpleasant things in my life, God has worked so that I can minister to others. And I didn't maybe understand it at the time. Excuse me. But looking back, you can see, oh, that's maybe why I went through that. One, to continue to trust and learn and grow in my own relationship with the Lord. But also to be able to help others out. We talked about that. We've dealt with that. But you see that we are His workmanship. We need to allow God to work in our lives. A lot of times people make the mistake that they think they got to clean themselves up before they get saved. No. Come as you are. The Lord will do the work in your life. Just like He did the work on the cross. He sacrificed. He gave Himself. He shed His blood for our sins. He's just looking for a willing heart. Well, the same thing is true after salvation. Allow God to work in you to prepare you for the work that He wants you to do. He's still in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. It says this, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works." He has good works for us, "which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I mean, He's already laid out. He knows when we're going to be born. He knows if we're going to accept Christ or not. He knows the people that are going to be involved in our lives. He has good works already lined out, already ordained or appointed for us to do. The question is, are we going to walk in those good works? See that word should? That we should walk in? It's kind of like where we're at in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. That we ought to walk. Still our choice. My buddy at work, we were talking about, since we were looking at Olympics, and it was, again, swimming at 6 o'clock in the morning, 2 days in a row. We were talking about Michael Phelps. And I commented about, you know, when Phelps was going for all of his Olympic golds in the past, it's like his, and they said, it's like his body is just built for swimming. I mean, a man's arms is like 20 feet long and stuff like that, you know. I mean, just absolutely incredible. We're talking about when you see him warming up, you do this thing, getting all warmed up, and it's like his arms just wrapped around his whole body. His body was like made for swimming. And as I'm looking at this verse here, you know what? It's the same thing. God has particular good works for us to do, and He makes us to, and prepares us to be able to do that as long as we allow Him to do that, to do His work. But it comes down to our choice. Am I going to walk according to how God wants me to walk in those good works that He's before ordained, that He's laid out for me? It's our choice. We ought to do it. We should do it. We're only going to be fulfilled and happy in our life if we're actually doing what God has created us to do in Christ. That's it. I mean, it really is, in a sense, that simple. But I can't be that simple, Charles. Yeah, it is. You will never be fulfilled and happy completely in your life unless you're doing what God has designed for you to do. And I'm not necessarily talking about what your job is, whatever it is to, you know, put food on the table. I mean, that obviously will play a part in it. The Bible talks about that and how we should work toward the Lord no matter what our job is. But God has created you for a purpose. And we will only be fulfilled if we're doing or walking according to the purpose that He intends for us to do. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians, because we have a lot to cover still in this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you. Notice, it's by the Lord Jesus. This is not in and of and coming out of just Paul, or Silas and Timothy, his ministry partners. He's exhorting them, he's beseeching them, how? By the Lord Jesus. Keep that in mind. In other words, this is what the Lord wants for you, Thessalonians. Right, obviously, Paul would desire the same thing and all that, I mean, because he understands the importance of following through with what the Lord would have you to do. But this is something that is being directed by the Lord Himself. I exhort you by the Lord Jesus that ye, as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk, and you ought to what? Please God. I ask you the question. Do you know right now what pleases God? Do you? For us that are, you know, that we've been married or in a marriage relationship and that sort of thing, and hopefully if you're a good spouse, partner, that sort of thing, you know the things that would please your wife or please your husband. You know the things that they like, and you do that, and that sort of thing. You know, most of you know me, and it's like, if you're going to say, what are the two, let's say, we'll call them junk foods, that Charles really likes, you would say what? Any guess? Popcorn and chocolate chip cookies. That's it. That's right. Popcorn and chocolate chip cookies. That's why I was so upset when I saw F9, that movie, The Fast and Furious, and the no popcorn. Still haven't gotten over that, obviously. I need to go pray. All right. And I love it that, you know, there's times, you know, I'll ask Trish, you know, can I have some popcorn, that sort of thing. But there's times, you know, maybe it's a Wednesday, or not Wednesday because you have to go to work, but someday we'll come home or whatever, and she'll pop popcorn for me. I don't even have to ask. You know what? Because she knows that pleases me. She knows I like popcorn. The chocolate chip cookies become few and far between. I mean, usually somebody's got to have a birthday in this church or something before I get chocolate chip cookies. I don't know. But anyhow, I digress. Do we know the things that please the Lord? All right. Well, I'm going to give you a few, just a few, for this message and understand some things. And to do this, I want you to go back to the book of Romans. This is the first book that appears for us as far as what we're going to call our commandments or our doctrine. And I want you to go to Romans chapter 8, and it's going to be down in verse 8. Now, as you make your way there, again, it's going back towards the Gospels. I mean, the book of Acts is right before Romans. And Romans is right before 1 Corinthians. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. And this is a big chapter. It's a chapter that really deals with breaking it down, the importance of walking according to the Spirit and not in the flesh. Really, I mean, there's a lot that's in this chapter. But if I'm going to kind of boil it down real quick to a quick overview of a theme, that's what I would probably come up with. It's like not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. And the reason why I'm here, because that's one of the things that is we need to do as far as pleasing God is going to be walking in the Spirit. Now let me show you what I mean. In Romans chapter 8, down in verse 8, it says this. Let me actually start in verse 7. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity or hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Alright? They that are in the flesh cannot please God. So that means I need to be in the Spirit. Because as a Christian, and this doesn't even pertain to a lost person, really, but as a Christian, what I'm about to say here, you're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the spirit. There's no in between. All right? You're either walking in the flesh, doing things according to how you want to do it, the lust of your flesh, whatever the case is, or you're walking according to the Spirit, which is according to the Word of God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, you don't have to turn there, but Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Not being an exact quote, but that's what it talks about. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's no in between. Either you're walking according to the truth of the Word of God, or you are walking according to the flesh. Let me give you an example. Last night at work, the security had not allowed this young man to come onto the casino floor because he was intoxicated. He showed signs of intoxication. And since it's a state-run casino, we do not allow drunk people to be on the floor. If you're drunk, then we kick you out. And it's for their protection, really. You know, because when you are inebriated, you make some stupid decisions. And we don't want people gambling their life savings away because they are not in the right frame of mind. And so this guy tried to come in to the north entrance, and then the security guard said, nope, can't come in. So what does he do? He goes all the way around and goes to the south entrance to see if he can get in the south entrance. No, he can't get in. I was there the second time around. All right? And then he went back and forth. This happened 5 times. The 5th time, I stepped in, because the son brought his daddy there. Daddy's going to help him out. All right? This is the Parent of the Year Award. I'm sorry. I got to get my grievances out this morning, and you guys are my audience. So, but it illustrates the point. He was trying to come in, and I said, look, sir, my name is Agent Boyce. I'm state police. And the reason why we can't allow you to come in on the gaming floor is because it's a state-run casino, and we can't have anybody that appears to be intoxicated on the floor. And he wanted to argue the point. And I said, look, you've tried to come in here 5 times. No, once, 3 times. Mike, it was 5 times. I've been here for 4 of them. No, it was 3 times. And Dad was going to help out. My son's a very smart son, and if he says it's 3 times, then it was 3 times. Now, I have a choice. Am I going to deal with this according to the flesh or according to the spirit? In my mind and in my flesh, well, I won't tell you what I was thinking, all right? I had to make a choice. Because Dad is like, okay, you know, here's my response. Even though I know they're wrong, absolutely wrong, all right? We've got cameras. I was there. I know everything that was going on. And you know what I said? Sir, yep, I believe your son is smart. And if you think it's 3 times, it's 3 times. But that doesn't change the fact that he cannot come on the floor. You know what the father said? Father of the Year. Well, you proved to me that it was 3 times. It's like, you're the one that said it was 3 times. Now you want me, I agree with you even though it's wrong. And now you want me to prove to you guys that it's 3. It's like, look, one or two ways. You can go back to your hotel room, or we can go to the arrest route. What do you want to do? And it's like, in my flesh, folks, I have a hard time dealing with drunk people that do not want to listen to the rules, because I've dealt with it so much in my life. And so I have to make a conscious effort when I'm confronted with something. Am I going to be in the flesh? Which could be very easy for me to do. It can be very easy for me to do. Or am I going to respond according to the Spirit? What would God want me to do? How would God want me to handle this situation? And that's what I chose to do. All right? And everything was fine. Mom came up. Mom was done gambling, and so Mom said, hey, we're done, and they start leaving. And the thing that really got on my nerves, the father turned around after the son was gone and said, okay, I understand. How come you didn't tell your boy that in the first place? Why did you enable him? And I mention this for a couple of reasons, you know, because, again, if I'm going to please God, no matter the circumstance, I need to try to do what? Be in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because if I'm in the flesh, I automatically know, according to this verse here, that I am not pleasing God. And I want to do the things that please Him. I want you to go over to the next book. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And that's like, again, I just had to get that off my chest. It's how I decompress.
Yes, all right. Thank you for your patience, all right, in that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's see another thing that pleases God in verse 21, all right? It says this, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." Well, what does that mean? Basically, the world thought that they were smarter than God, and so in all their worldly wisdom, they end up really not knowing God. So here's what God says in the rest of this, in this verse. It says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The world is like, you know what? We're smarter than God. We don't need God. That stuff doesn't make any sense. That Bible's all old and outdated and archaic and everything like that. So God says, you know what? You know what's going to please me? The preaching of the Word. It's foolishness to the world. But for those who believe, that's where it's at. And so every time, again, our vision for this year, preach the Word. Every time that we're sharing the Word of God with somebody, guess what? God's in heaven, guess what? He's pleased. He's pleased. You're doing what He has asked you to do. Right? And it's like, again, it's like, I want to be able to please Him. And if I know that not only if I'm in the Spirit instead of being in the flesh that pleases Him, but also if I'm proclaiming His truth, if I'm proclaiming, I'm preaching His Word, that pleases God. Right? And it doesn't mean that you got to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you can never stumble or anything like that. No, it's the act of like you're going to share the Word of God. That pleases Him. I'll give you something else in this same book, 1 Corinthians, but this time chapter 12. We actually went through this reference when I did that message on biblically understanding race relations and everything that's going on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. Chapter 12 deals with the comparing the body of Christ like the human body. We all, there may be different parts and so forth, but we're all one body and every part serves a function. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, it says this, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him." Every person in the local church, every person in the body of Christ has a purpose, has a reason, has a work, that sort of thing. And you know what? God has placed you where it pleases Him. All right? And that doesn't mean that always stays. I wasn't always a pastor. I didn't get saved and all of a sudden I became a pastor. That did not happen. All right? That wasn't my position within the body of Christ. My position was learning and growing in the Word of God. And maybe that's your position right now, is that God just wants you to learn and grow in the relationship with Him. Well, that pleases Him as long as that you're doing it. You allow Him to work in you. You allow that to happen, then maybe God has a different position and purpose for you within the body down the road. I tell you what, when I was 19 years old and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior back in June 4th, 1988, if God would have just like, okay, Charles, this is what we're going to do. This is what your future is going to hold. And all the things that He's allowed me to do over these last 32 years of being saved, if He would have shown me all that, it might have scared me. I'm like, I don't think so. But it's one step at a time. He places you where it pleases Him. And He's got to work, and He's working your life to be able to continue to mature you and grow you in Him as we continue to do what? To walk and to please God. Let me give you one more reference, and then we've got to move on. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So past 1 Thessalonians where we're at, and you have 2 Thessalonians, and then you will have 1 Timothy and then 2 Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 4. I want to include all of this because it really lays out, again, the aspect of what every believer, what Christ would have us to do in talking about fulfilling His commandments. This is one of the things that He would have us to do. And again, it comes down to sharing the Word of God again. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That same grace that saves us, same grace that we need to serve the Lord with. In verse 2 it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Now this is a Paul talking to Timothy, his son in the faith as a pastor of the church of Ephesus. So he's telling Timothy, those things that you've learned of me, I need you to pass those on to faithful men who are going to be able to teach others also. We call it discipleship. And then it says this though, verse 3 and 4, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We're in God's arms. When you accept the Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got drafted into God's arms. And verse 4 says this, "No man that warreth entangleth himself, with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Are we pleasing God as good soldiers? Are we getting entangled in the things of this world? Yes, we have jobs. Yes, we got to pay the bills and so forth and so on. Yeah, I understand and I get that. But being entangled in those things to where you never are serving God, you're not in the battle, that's where the issue comes in. If we're going to please God, if I'm going to please God, I need to make sure that I'm not entangled in the things of this world. You know, happening to catch up to the Joneses or the Smiths or whatever. You know, no, it's a matter of let me focus on the job, the works that God has given me to do. And it's going to be tough at times. It's going to be a battle at times. It's going to be hard at times. But God gives me the power and the strength to be able to do that. He's given me the Spirit of God so I can walk in the Spirit to be able to do those things and remain in trying to be a good soldier that pleases Him. So if we want to please God, if we want to walk and to please God, what have we learned so far today? Can't be in the flesh. Got to be in the Spirit. What also pleases God? Hey, being able to share the truth of the Word of God. Maybe foolishness to the world, but God is pleased by us sharing the Word of God with others. And not only that, that God has placed us within the body of Christ where it pleases Him. He has a job for us to do. And if we do that job, it pleases Him. And then, being a good soldier that is not entangled in the things of this life. Why? So I can continue to be in the battle and doing what God has, again, laid out for me to do. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. We've got to move on. Spent a lot of time in chapter 1. I need to continue on here in verse 2. Well, not chapter 1, but verse 1 of chapter 4, and then you go into verse 2. Again, I'm going to read from verse 1. It says this, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." So you see that last phrase in verse 1 is the idea of continuing to grow in that, just like we saw last week with them in dealing with their love in chapter 3 and verse 12. God wanted, or the Lord wanted them to, through Paul, to be able to have them increase and abound in their love one toward another. What we're seeing here, that He wants us to, again, to abound more and more in what? Our walk and our pleasing God. He wants us to abound in that, grow in that. And I hope that's something that we have been seeing these last number of weeks, and you understand. It's like, it's not good to be stagnant. It's not good just to be, this is all I want, and that's it. And there's too many Christians that's exactly it. I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm satisfied with that. I'm not going to do any more. Or, I come to church, that's a good thing, but that's it. God wants, as it says in Colossians chapter 4, the best way I can think it and say it, He is our life. Not a part of our life. He is our life. That Christ needs to be in every aspect of our life. At work, at home, wherever. Out fishing, whatever the case is. That I'm doing this unto the Lord. How can I please the Lord? How can I be used of Him? Because you never know when an opportunity is going to come that you have a chance to be able to please God by sharing the Word of God with somebody. You move on to verse 2 and it says this, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Now look at that. Because we've got bookends here in the sense of dealing with that phrase, by the Lord Jesus. We saw it in verse 1. Again, how Paul was exhorting them by the Lord Jesus to walk and to please God. And he also says in verse 2, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Again, these are not Paul's commandments. They're not Timothy's commandments. They're not Silas's commandments. In other words, they're not a man's commandments. It's God's Word. We've already seen that in chapter 2 and verse 13. Not that you need to go there now, but Paul is thanking them because why? They receive the Word of God as the Word of God, not as the Word of men. All right? And so Paul is still giving them commandments that, again, that are by the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people think that, you know, I'm reading through the New Testament and I really need to pay close attention to the words of Jesus Christ because those, you know, if you have one of those Bibles that the words of Christ are in red, well, those are really important because they're in red. This is what the Lord's saying. You know what? I'm going to tell you. If we're going to put what the Lord has said in red,
That's going to cover every verse and word in the whole book. It's all the Word of God. Not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when you see Jesus speaking. It's all the Word of God, including what we're seeing right here, because that's what it literally says. This is not Charles Boyceism. This is not just somebody making it up. This is not just quote-unquote some Baptist doctrine or Bible doctrine, whatever. No, it is the Word of God. And he says in verse 2, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Now, again, I opened up this message talking about all the Bible is for you, but not all the Bible is to you. There's different dispensations or sections in the Bible that are written to certain people. All right? And I gave examples of that a little bit. But there are commandments that are written to us, believers in Christ, the body of Christ, that were given to us by the Apostle Paul. I'm going to give you a few verses here and then we'll be done. I want you to go actually to Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to look down in just verse 37. This is very instructional for us. And this is not just really including the book of 1 Corinthians. It's really everything that Paul, that God uses to write to us. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, down in verse 37. It says this, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments," plural, "of the Lord." So Paul's coming down because the Corinthians were dealing with these people coming in with their false doctrines and everything like that. And he says, if somebody's saying that they're a prophet, if somebody's saying that they're spiritual, then the test is this: let them acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of God. Now the thing that Paul writes to us is from the book of Romans all the way to the book of Philemon. That is what has been written to us by Paul, because primarily the church is made up of Gentiles. Now again, we understand doctrinally that, again, in the body of Christ, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile. We covered that in my message on dealing with race relations. It doesn't matter what color you are, what ethnicity, it does not matter. We are in Christ. But practically speaking, the body of Christ is primarily made up of Gentiles, and Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. So the things that Paul writes to us are to us, all right? They are doctrines to us that we are going to be held accountable for, all right? Again, they were given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul, all right? It's not Peter, it's not James, it's not John. I know it can be like, man, I've never heard that before, because most people think that and we get to the New Testament, well, all the New Testament, well, that's Jesus Christ and everything, so all of that is to us. No. No, it's not. Because I can show you plenty of places in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where, again, their work is for their salvation. And I've already given you a reference that shows that we can't work for our salvation. So how are you going to square that? All right? How are you going to square where it talks about, matter of fact, I want you to go to Romans real quick. In chapter 13 first. Romans chapter 13. I'm going to look down in verse 8. Romans 13, verse 8. I'll start there. And the reason I want to bring these things out, because there's so much confusion within the church today, the body of Christ, because we've got people, we've got churches, we've got doctrines, that they're taking something that is really written to the Jews, or written to what Jesus Christ is talking to the nation of Israel, and they're trying to apply to us. And then you start saying, well, wait a minute, there's a contradiction here. Are taking something that James writes or John writes that, again, are to the Jews and trying to apply that. All right? We talk about salvation. I mean, there's so many examples I can talk about to where in Matthew chapter 24 and Jesus Christ saying that those that endure to the end will be saved. Well, that applies to work. If you don't endure, you're not saved. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. All right? And that's not the only place it says that. All right? He also says it in Matthew chapter 10. Enduring to the end is going to be saved. Well, wait a minute. But Paul says in Romans chapter 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. There's no enduring to the end. Is there a contradiction in the Bible? No. You got to understand who's the audience that Jesus is speaking to.
Who's the audience that Peter is speaking to? Who's the audience that John is speaking to? In other words, their doctrine, you know, they're talking to the Jews at a specific time period. All right? But for us, we're in grace. If you look at Romans chapter 13, verse 8, it says this, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Now you look at that, that list should sound familiar, right? Again, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Those five commandments there are the same five commandments that's in the Ten Commandments of Exodus chapter 20. You go back to Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy chapter 5, you'll see the Ten Commandments laid out to the nation of Israel. All right? But here's what's interesting about it, though. I mean, it talks. Paul doesn't mention, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But yet that's something that's in our doctrine, right? We've already seen that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, right? What did he thank God or commend the Thessalonians for, I should say, was that, what, they turned from idols to serve the living and true God. The thing that's in the commandments of the nation of Israel also talks about not making any graven image or idol. Again, that's also covered in what we've already seen in 1 Thessalonians. But you know what's not here in this list that is in the Ten Commandments? The Jews are supposed to do work how many days? 6 days, and rest on the seventh, which is the Sabbath. It's interesting that Paul doesn't say anything about that here. Why? Because it's not something that's to us. It doesn't matter that we go to work on Saturday, Sabbath. I mean, if that was something that I was supposed to keep, then I really messed that up. I messed it up, well, really technically every week. Because whether I'm off on Saturday or I get off on Saturday, I'm still working on Sabbath. Because technically, I'm really messing it up because the day for the Jews starts in the evening time when the sun goes down. So their Saturday literally starts evening time on Friday for us. So if that commandment was to me, I'm breaking that every week by going to work. Alright? But guess what? It's not to me. It's not to us. Alright? We have to keep the Sabbath. We have commandments. We definitely have. We've been reading. We've been seeing these commandments that we have. Alright? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, that's good across the board. I mean, that's not something that we ought not to do. We ought not to covet. We ought not to do all these things that are being laid out here that's talking about here. I mean, so that there are some things that, yeah, you see it in the Old Testament. You'll see it when Jesus in his earthly ministry to the Jews. You'll see it for us because it's one of those universal things that goes right across the board. But there are some things that are given to the Jews that are not given to us. Alright? And that's the thing to understand. And it's like it's easily, rightly dividing where Paul, what does he write to us? It's from Romans to Philemon that he's focused on us. Yes, he writes the book of Hebrews, but what's the title of the book of Hebrews? Hebrews. Jews. Alright? So he does write a book to the Jews, and Peter acknowledges that, matter of fact, as well. But what he's written to us and the Gentiles or the body of Christ, it's Romans through Philemon. Since you're in Romans, give you a couple other references that deal with that, that lay this out. I actually want you to go back to chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, and I want you to look at it in verse 13. Romans chapter 11 and verse 13. It says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." So he's speaking, and literally he's speaking, but what is he doing? He's writing. Alright? He's writing to the Romans. He's writing to the Gentiles. Alright? Because he's the apostle of the Gentiles. God gave Paul to communicate the doctrine or the commandments for us. If I'm going to walk and please God, I've got to know what is written to me to do that. And God provided Paul to give us those commandments. Still in the book of Romans, I want you to look at one more place. I want you to look at Romans chapter 15 and verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. Notice what it says here. Verse 15 says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I mean, Paul is the one that God has given us to understand the commandments so that we can do what? As we're seeing today, to be able to walk and to please God. Now, I can go to many other references that bear this out about Paul's position in the body of Christ and dealing with how God communicated the doctrine or the commandments to us, to Paul, to give to us. I mean, this is just, we don't have the time, and this is not the point necessarily as far as this message. We just don't have the time to do it. That's why I have question after Bible study and so forth and discipleship. We can see more of it, but there are numerous verses that bear that out. Why is it important? Because, unfortunately, if we are, as we've seen, let me put it this way. There's too many churches or Christians that are thinking that they're pleasing God by following the wrong commandments. I'm going to give you this one example, and I've got to leave it at that. But how many churches, maybe you've been to or that you've heard, you need to tithe? Give your 10%. Do you ever hear me saying that you need to give your tithe of 10%? Have you ever heard me ever give a message that says, you know what? You need to give your 10%. You need a tithe. In the Old Testament, I mean, God, you have tithe. Go to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. When a man robbed God, well, you're robbing God if you're not providing your tithe. Okay? That is a legit doctrine, but it's given to the nation of Israel. You will never find where Paul writes from Romans to Philemon anywhere about us tithing. You know why? Because it's not written to us. It's not our commandment. How many times and how many churches and how many pastors have you heard, you need to tithe 10%. And make it off the gross, by the way, not after they take out the taxes. Oh, I have heard of churches and pastors that do that. Why? Because they'll get more money if you're tithing off your gross. You wouldn't believe the stuff that I have encountered and heard. But that's not our doctrine. It's very clear for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that it's between you and God. That as a man purposes in his heart, so let him give. We don't pass the plate. We don't do any of that stuff. You won't even hear me talk about giving unless it comes up in a message. And the only reason why I'm bringing it up now is because I want to drill home the point by something that is so prevalent in churches today. People are taking things that are not to them and applying to churches and Christians and getting a lot of people confused and thinking that they're doing the right thing. In reality, they're not. That's dangerous. A lot of times people stay away from churches and things like that because, again, they're trying to take something that was written to somebody else and trying to apply it. If I write a love letter to my wife and you read it, you may learn some things and get some inspiration or whatever. But who is it written to? Who is it directed to? It's directed to Trish Boyce. Well, the same thing with the Word of God. All of it's for you, but not all of it is to you. And if we're going to walk and please God as we are commanded to do, then we need to know what God has commanded us to do in our dispensation of grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you. And this is one of those messages that really, there's so much that's involved and so much, I hope, that causes those who are here and those who are listening to really think about the Bible, the Word of God, to really think about what you have commanded us specifically to do in this time period, in this dispensation of grace. Your Word, I mean, you are cut and dry. Your Word is a sword. It's not a hammer. It's not something that's going to bludgeon. It's clean, sharp sword, as your Word even says. There are things that you've written in your Bible that are to the Jews. There are things that you've written in your Bible that are
to Gentiles that are not even in the body of Christ. There's things that you've written in the Bible that are to the Jews that believe in Christ but yet still follow the law. That's the dispensation of dealing with the gospel of the kingdom when Christ was on earth. And then there's part of the Bible that you have written to us, the body of Christ, and you're given the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Gentiles. Those are the things that you're going to hold us accountable for. We thank you for all of the Bible. And obviously, I preach more than just Romans through Paul. Anybody knows me, we know that. We've been through a number of different books in the Bible that are not Paul's epistles. Because all the Bible is for us, and we get inspiration and understanding from every bit of your Word. But it's so important that we need to know what's to us so that we can walk and please you. Help us continue to have that understanding. Help us to grow in that, to abound in that as we saw today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.